my channel.
This is a bit of a change of pace, to be honest with you.
It really is. I like changing the pace occasionally, though.
Well, I think this is nice. A lot of your followers specifically asked us to talk about why the hell people still teach.
Why the hell? What are y'all still doing in there?
WTF.
Haven't y'all seen it out here?
Crazy. So, we got some submissions about that. And I got some very sentimental answers to my inbox.
I did too. I got a good mix because, and the mix I got is very emblematic of my own feelings, where lots of them are sentimental and then lots of them are just like very cut and dry. This is a job.
Mm-hmm.
What do I want from my job?
People think I'm freaking nuts because I'm always like, I'm going to go back. And they're like, no, you're not. You're crazy. And I'm like, I will. I have friends that went back after 8 years of like raising their kids and getting them into kindergarten and then going back to school for teaching or whatever. And then they started teaching later. Like, you can really do anything. Nobody stops you. I think we really limit ourselves, but like we can live many lives. My ass is going back.
You can join a traveling circus today you want.
They can't stop you. They don't want you to, but they can't stop you. I posted a video a while ago talking about like doing the math to see if I can swing going back to teaching and paying for childcare.
That's insane. That's insane. That's just so insane. If you can swing having a job, is this job profitable? Question mark. Click here to find out. What other job do we have to be like, am I going to profit by going and being a full-time employee?
Well, because daycare is as much as our freaking mortgage.
Yeah, my sister told me her childcare is more than her mortgage.
Things are troubling.
That's how did we get here? It's probably Ronald Reagan's fault.
Everything goes back to fucking Ronald Reagan.
When I was teaching my class about Ronald Reagan, I started off because literally one of my standards is the Reagan years.
Oh.
That's literally the standard. So I had my little Reagan years PowerPoint and I said, I want to give a disclaimer. Lots of people have lots of feelings about this man. You can have whatever feelings that you have. I'm just going to tell you some stuff he did.
Yeah.
I have my own feelings about him. And as I was trying to go through my little unbiased neutral spiel, my student from last semester walked past the door and goes, y'all talking about Ronald Reagan? I hate that man. He is burning in hell. Worst president we've ever had. I would kill him if he was still alive.
Your students say the craziest, funniest shit. I love them.
And I was like, okay. So as you can see, an example of people having very strong emotions and opinions.
Oh my God, you raised them well.
No, she hated Ronald Reagan before she ever met me.
Wow. A woman of culture.
She was the type of kid. I loved her. Like, I would be giving a PowerPoint and she'd be like, I'm going to stop you right there and then like take over. And I'd
oh,
like,
wow. Yeah, she's man. You.
Or she would raise her hand to say something. And I was like, I'd be like, I'm going to talk about that. That's in literally 4 slides. And she was like, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh. Like, how does she even know these things about history? Well, what? Okay. So yes, but people were in my comments like paying for childcare is a joint venture that you and your partner pay for. Why are you as the woman just taking on this responsibility of saying it's from your salary? And I'm like, no, guys. It's because I work a full-time job and make more than I did teaching by a lot.
Yeah.
So I would be taking a significant pay cut. So it is a little bit to look at my husband and go, I would like to do this passion project.
Like, I have a job that'll cost us insane amounts of money. Because when you described that, I think on TikTok and on here, I was more viewing that as like you and your husband doing like profit and losses of your household, not like your husband being like, well, you got to find somewhere to put these fucking kids if you want to leave this house. That's not my problem. That's yours.
Can you imagine?
I saw it more of like as like a like an Excel P&L moment, like if you two led a company together where it's like we're kind of talking about revenue versus cost.
Which I'm sure he would love to participate in a conversation like that. But really, it's just a conversation that I'm the driver.
Yeah.
I'm the one.
Because you're like, right now I'm bringing in a lot of money.
Yeah.
And none of that money is leaving the building. If I switched, all of the money would be leaving the building.
Yeah.
Something to consider, methinks.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's a little, somebody in my comments was like, wait, are you lying? Because like, why would you take a pay cut to go back to a job? And I'm like,
because I'm insane.
You know, that there is the $1 million question, friend, but I like it.
So exciting news about my pay cut, because I took a pay cut leaving corporate to come back to teaching. I did not view it as a pay cut. I'll get into the numbers here. So if you looked at my overall salary, it was a pay cut of about $10,000. But my rent, I paid more than double what I pay right now when I lived in Miami. And then when I worked it out by hour, I was getting paid the same amount per hour.
Oh.
It's just because teaching is less hours of the year because I have Christmas break, I have summer break, I have all these things. So when I got hired, I didn't, even though I technically was taking a pay cut, I didn't feel that I was because I was still making roughly $34 an hour. My work day was just shorter and I had longer breaks. And now my, or no, I did take a little bit of an hourly cut. Yeah. So I did take a little bit of an hourly cut, but now they just, my district just gave us raises. Now my hourly teaching is higher by
Look
a couple cents than it was at my corporate job. So now I'm firmly no longer in pay cut territory. So it only took me a year. And again, none of that was action on my end. That's because they gave us some bonuses. My district's like really just throwing money at us right now, yes. Which I love. Keep it up.
Keep it coming.
Keep it up. I don't know if there's like a weird like political competition between all the superintendents in this area, but one district will give a raise. Then 2 days later, another district is like, here's our raise. And it's bigger.
Oh.
And then another district will be like, no, we're going to do a bonus. Like, I think because of the shortage in this area, like they're really competing for teachers because a lot of teachers in this area teach in a different district from where they live.
We read a submission or a news story or something talking about how there are two unions in one state that like do that with each other.
Oh, I do remember this.
It's like, we're the highest paid. No, we're the highest paid. And it's like a insider baseball trading, whatever
yes.
the fuck that's called.
That's kind of the vibe of what's going on in my state right now. And like, keep it up. Keep it up. The girls are fighting. Presidential warning. The girls are fighting. Keep fighting and giving us money.
Should we read some of these beautiful people's sentimental stories?
Yes. Read the ones that you said were good jumping off points.
Okay. When I started teaching, it was because I loved kids, wanted to make a difference, and it is just what I always pictured myself doing. I kept doing it after I had kids because the schedule was great. Even if I brought stuff home, I was still at home when my kids were, or they could be with me after or before school, and I had great benefits. Now that my kids are mostly grown, my youngest will be a sophomore next year. Oh, I have so many years invested in my retirement that it would be crazy to leave. I hate the changes that I have seen, but with 8 to 10 years left, I feel like I kind of just have to hang on until the bitter end, dot, dot, dot.
Womp womp. I've seen a lot of the teachers at my school are in that boat where they're like, I want to leave, but if I stay 6 more years, I get a pension and then I can have a pension and leave. And I'm like, real, real.
Yeah. People stay, I know, like at LAUSD and Long Beach Unified, because it's like you want to get to the top of the salary schedule, retire at the top of the matrix,
yeah,
and then get the most pension you can and then dip.
There's this like strategy people use in this area. There's one specific district here that pays really well, but like they work you for that money. Their school day is longer. They have more meetings. Their school year is longer. Like, you earn that money. And the joke is that's where teachers go to retire because everyone goes there their last year because your pension is based on your like whatever you were making the last year. So like everyone goes to work for this intense ass district for like 1 or 2 years when they're about to leave so that they can go out on a higher pay rate. Because I thought about switching to that district, but then when I saw that they have 2 or 3 meetings per week, so I'd get way less planning time and the school day ended 45 minutes later than my school right now, I was like, no, y'all can keep them.
No, up. I get that. Maybe when you're an old bird.
Even then, get away from me. And like, call me a cynic, but I really doubt that the teacher pension system is going to be cutting me a paper check in the year 2070, whatever.
You think it's going to be gone?
Yeah. Like, no. Like, at that point, I think teaching will be like a feudal system where like you live in the school and like have no rights, kind of like prison labor. So I'm like, I'm not investing 30 years into this because I don't see you all coming through on that. This one really jived with me. You said it better than I could have. My brain does it really well. So true. So true. Like when I was at my corporate job, I felt like I had to make my brain work so hard. And I just feel like with teaching, it just does it.
Uh-huh.
Like my brain is like, yeah, man, I know what to do here.
I know exactly what you mean. Yes.
But then like ask me to send an email to invite someone to a meeting. It's going to take 30 minutes.
Oh my God. I had to make a deck, like a really comprehensive PowerPoint that they called decks in their world. And I could not do it. It took me 6 hours to do this because it was so confusing to me to like analyze data in such a way that I had never before. I was like, this is weird.
I hate that.
And their objectives don't make sense
to me. I usually just make it up.
I luckily leaned very heavily on AI because that's an option in marketing. They're like, here, to ask the robot what you should do with the data.
That's what's been hard for me about grad school is like, I'm used to like corporate where I'm like, oh, I need to write a paragraph. I'll just have ChatGPT do it. And then at grad school, they're like, whoa. And I'm like, you guys are writing these?
I know.
Like yourself?
The Stone Ages.
In 2024? This person has a long one. So
tell
you go us. First.
Okay. I'm a teacher who's a part of the LGBTQ+ community. And with the current political climate, I feel like me and people like me just automatically know how to be inclusive of all students, regardless of their backgrounds. That's not to say that non-queer people don't know how to do that. I know many who do. But as someone who went through the school system as a queer student, I know exactly what it's like to not be represented and being told that queer is bad. So I do it for those students who feel like nobody understands them and who don't have a safe space to be themselves. And I love this one because I think about that a lot when people are like a lot of people are like, I can't understand why teachers teach in Florida where they're so restricted and da 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 da. But it's like, okay, but the alternative is students don't have safe adults, trusted adults in their school system. Like if everybody leaves because, you know, it's so conservative and bigoted, like, then nobody's left. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, Florida.
I know. But, like, I get it. The thing is, it's, like, this very personal decision where, like, I understand why people would not want to teach in that environment. But the people who do, like, there are people who, I don't know, they're really putting in work. They're really like,
y'all are doing the work.
Yeah, like I talked to, when I was at the AFC conference, the American Federation of Teachers conference, I talked to a teacher who in Florida was like attacked by Moms for Liberty, and she talked about how important it was to her to be able to do social emotional learning in her classroom. And obviously her students need it, all students need it, but Florida like was doing away with social emotional learning, and they were putting it under a different name that was basically SEL, but they didn't want people to know it was SEL, so they were calling it something else. And it was very dramatic. And I asked her, like, okay, well, why? What makes you stay? And she was like, well, I need to, like, basically play these little games of, like, not saying SEL, but still teaching SEL, because the alternative is my students won't get it, or they'll have a teacher who doesn't believe in that and doesn't want to prioritize that, you know?
It does. I just, Florida makes me so angry.
I know. Always. I can't with them.
Okay. I have a long one that I like.
So long one, huh?
She gave 4 reasons.
Okay.
Number one, I feel you so hard on this. I am a yapper and I love a job where I get to talk all day. I was a menace in the office because I literally would just not shut the fuck up. My coworker, who I'm so thankful that he was kind of like me, but sometimes he would be like, okay, I really just need you to be quiet so that I can get this done. And I was like, yes, we're being quiet. And then I would just have to go outside. 2, I teach middle school, which I feel like is such an overlooked age group in terms of curriculum, resources, assistance, etc. I love being able to help kids with such a tumultuous little time in their lives. 3, also middle schoolers, I teach 8th, are the funniest human beings alive, and they keep me young. They help me stay on top of the lingo. 4, also going along with middle school, it's also one of their last chances to get caught up and get their educational needs met. I really see that as a high school teacher, because in high school, like, the kids that are really behind, like, I feel like we just kind of leave them behind. And I think that middle school is like a last environment, because the point of what I've noticed is in middle school, your teachers are talking to each other because they usually put the kids in little pods. But in high school, it's not that way. unless your teacher like goes out of their way to do it. Like, I went out of my way to like be friends with the literature teacher because it was my first time teaching writing. But like, if I hadn't have gone to do that, I never would have gotten that insight. And then their number five, another great one. I like being the authority and control because I'm a control freak. I feel that so fucking hard. I love being a teacher because like my Google Drive has every PowerPoint and worksheet organized with the date on it. Everything's printed, ready to go. Like, I have my shit together so hard and everything is so organized because I'm not going to let anyone fuck that up. But like when I was in corporate and I would have to like plan workshops, like, oh, you didn't send me your slides, so now the whole thing is fucked. Like, I love being like the captain of the ship because I know everything's going to be perfect.
Yes. When I was doing group projects in school, I fucking loved when I was with a bunch of deadbeats. I'm telling you, I was like perfect. I wanted to do it all because my mother, bless her heart, my mother used to say, my mother still says, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. And I have fully internalized that on almost a toxic scale, but whatever. I do very individualistic jobs. Like on my team at work, I am the team. It is me. I have a manager and a director, but I'm the whole team. So
I need an individualistic job. I can't with the group work because everyone's so bad at things. And like when I do stuff with my students and they're bad at things, I'm like, well, you're a kid. That's why I'm here. Like, I'm here to teach you to be better. But like when we're both getting paid a salary and you fucked up the email, I'll kill you.
Get it together.
Because now we look dumb because you don't know how to send an email. Like one of my coworkers one time sent an email to the wrong distribution list. And I was like, great. Now we have to kill ourselves. Thanks.
And it's all your fault.
Okay, this is what keeps me teaching. I work for a rural unincorporated community in California and that we have a program that is insanely unique. It's really cool because you get a group of kids and you follow them throughout their 4 years of high school. The goal is to get first generation kids into college. I'm starting with my third group of kids this upcoming year, and nothing has been cooler than building an insanely unique bond not only with students but in families with the areas. I also teach US history, which I love. So I guess like they have like a cohort that they stay with the whole time. That's cool.
That's really neat. That's very unique.
This is okay. A lot of people brought this up. I love the breaks. To me, that's one of the biggest things. So what I hate about going on vacation in like non-teaching is like when you are not at work, work is still happening. So you come back to the work that you missed. So like at my old job, if I was out for a couple days, I would come back to like 200 emails that I still had to answer and deal with all those problems. So I was like, I don't even think I should be using PTO because I'm still doing all the shit that happened in that time. I'm just doing it at a later date. And I think that one thing schools do that's really healthy for teachers and kids is giving us a break. Like having the building be closed, everyone is on a break, I think is like very healthy for just like everyone to take a deep breath. Like when I come back from spring break, I don't have that many emails, maybe like a couple rando ones that I get from like companies that I have accounts with. And so one of my friends has a client that's like a major company. I won't say what it is, but this major company closes down for 2 full weeks in the summer. And they're like, if you send us an invoice, no one's answering it. They send an email to all their partners. Everyone, the only people still working is they have like a IT team that's actually another company that's like a contract. Every single employee of this company is mandated. They're not allowed to work. Like apparently their laptops don't even work during this time. It's like we're all taking 2 weeks off. And you can take vacation at other times, but for 2 weeks in July, this company literally shuts the fuck down. And all of the like people they have to pay, they send them an email and they're like, your payment's going to be late.
Okay.
Accounting's closed.
I love
that. And I think that is an amazing precedent to set as a company that like, we're truly shutting this bitch down. Let's all take a breath. Because otherwise, even if you do it like by department, my old job tried to do that where every department we did like a rotating thing, but it just doesn't work. Like it just doesn't. Everyone just comes back to a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. My dad works for a tech company. And he had to go to China and they had a massive holiday And the company wanted to make everybody work still. And the factory said, we're shutting the electricity off.
Per.
My dad was like, hell yeah, good for you. So he got to like enjoy a little holiday time because they drew that line in the sand. They were like, we are not fucking working on our holiday week. Thank you.
They said, respect our boundaries. Yes. And I think more places need to be doing it. And that's one thing that I like about school is that like we're closed when we're closed. It kind of sucks that it's really hard to take time off at other times.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, that is a perk. It is a perk.
It's a perk.
It's a perk. I have a lot of people too who are saying like I spent money on a degree and I'm using my degree.
Yeah, this person had a long one and they're a fresh baby teacher.
Oh.
So they said, I'm a fresh baby teacher, just finished student teaching at a high school and an elementary school and graduated. But these are the things that made me want to finish my degree and get a job in education and not something else, which I love because most education programs are literally shutting down because no one wants to do them.
Yeah.
Which that's also my fault because a bunch of my students were like, we want to be teachers. What should we do? And I told them to not major in education. Oops.
Oopsie poopsie.
I was like, major in your subject area and get an alternate certification.
I mean, that's really good advice.
No, literally. I was like, a degree, you need to think about return on investment.
Yeah.
Sorry if I broke any of you guys' dreams.
I love the way that California does it. I know it's not popular.
I do too.
But
I know it's controversial, it's but great. I like that.
I mean, you can get your degree in anything that interests you. And then you take all of those classes for education all together at once. It's fresh in your mind while you're student teaching. Like, it kind of rocked.
Or I told them, like, double major or get, like, a minor in education. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you should have a degree that can let you do... I think anyone getting a degree, it should open up more than just one job position for you.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, a good way to look at it. But let me read the rest of hers and stop getting distracted. So... Number one, she said, love hanging out with kids K through 12. They're all so fun and fun, unique, interesting, creative, and funny. I adore my students. I'm an art teacher, so I get to design my curriculum. The state standards are very open and more process focused rather than product. I am jealous of you for that. And so I get to teach about what I want or what my students find interesting. As the art teacher, I get to nurture a different side of students that maybe isn't as present in core classes, which is very cool. I get to make art with people who don't know the rules yet, and they do things in such a creative, inspiring way that I wouldn't be exposed to in a college or professional studio. And then I get to wear fun clothes and the things that I've wanted to wear.
Yes, that's so true, too. That's a very happy little perk. I look at my teacher earrings all the time.
I wish I could be a teacher earrings person. My old roommate is such a teacher earrings person. Like literally every day she would have different earrings that were all themed. But I just always forget to put them on.
I love Bobble Bar from Target earrings. And I always still go to look at them. And I'm like, oh, I just love them.
Love an earring moment.
And my fun pants. My fun shoes. Anyways, now I'm getting sad.
I love wearing my funny little t-shirts.
Yes.
My favorite one, call me 1929 because I'm in a Great Depression.
I've never seen that one. I love that.
I
so much.
Was wearing that and one of the security officers at my school was like, it's very funny, but you look way too happy to be wearing that because I was literally grinning ear to ear because I thought it was so funny.
It cured your depression, ironically.
No, literally. He was like, you do not look depressed. And I was like,
not anymore. Not in my sleeve little shirt. Oh my God. I have a friend who in December wears a different math pun shirt every single day.
Incredible.
No notes. A lot of people really like where they work. Like people are just like, hey, I love my colleagues. I love my admin. I love my position. Good for you.
I got one. This it's their ninth nine year in education, which I find very impressive because even as much as I love my school and I love my job, I think I'm going to be like a 3 to 5 years in, then we leave. 3 to 5 years in, then we leave for my whole career. So I'm impressed with anyone that can stay for like 30 years straight. And they're on year nine. So they said, I've been lucky enough to teach at the same campus the whole time. This is what has kept me teaching. Same thing you mentioned. Number one was community. We're in a high Title I elementary campus. I don't know what that means. But for the most part, the people I work with are incredible. We've built an amazing support system for each other. Also, being at the same campus this long has allowed me to get to know families in such a unique way. My first year students will be seniors next year, but since I've taught them, their siblings, and their cousins, I've made and maintained working relationships with parents built on trust and mutual respect.
To my administrator, the last 5 years we've had the same principal and I've been able to cultivate a working relationship with her where we can have honest and raw conversations about my growth and desires as a professional. 3 district officials, our superintendent is visible all over the district. I could call his extension and ask him to visit our campus or help with something and he'd be there.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I've never even tried. We've developed a teacher-to-district communication systems that allows classroom teachers to question and challenge choices being made on our behalf. Our super has gone to our state government multiple times to advocate for students and teachers in public education, and when he returns, he communicates with us the outcomes. The district has whole systems that constantly involve teachers in curriculum, writing, program purchases, and the list goes on. Is everything sunshine and rainbows all the time? Absolutely not, but that's the reality of teaching right now. Knowing I am valued as a professional and as a person keeps my head above water on the tough days. That I feel like is the biggest thing we're seeing is people saying community and then like good administrators.
Yes, that is everything. Honestly, like having community is something that I feel like everybody yearns for and is so rare. So when you find it, why would you leave? My best friend just had a baby and she like loved her school and it was so hard for her to imagine not being there or not having a job after she takes time off. Like, it's like a diamond in the rough.
Someone just said fear of the future.
Oh my God, what?
A lot of people are saying the kids. I teach PE, so I get paid decently to take walks all day.
That sounds like my hell. So we all have our strengths.
No, I love that. I would teach PE, but the class sizes are so intimidating to me.
One downside about getting a teacher credential, let me tell you, you have to take PE class, at least in California, because you have to teach PE at a lot of these fucking schools. So you're literally coming back from student teaching and like changing into gym clothes and going into the gym and playing games. It was awful.
I'm scared for when I have to go to the middle school soon for my faux student teaching. I'm glad. So I thought they placed us.
Oh, you get to pick.
They told us we can just pick somewhere. So I'm just going to ask my principal.
Good.
I'm like, who do you like?
Yeah.
Who do we like? Who do we hate?
Tell me everything, bestie. Yes, that's great strategy.
Because I'm just going to go to the middle school that feeds into my high school because that seems the most geographically convenient for me.
Yeah, well, of course. Oh my God, somebody's an attorney thinking about quitting to teach. They say, can't wait for these answers.
Okay, I'm kind of seeing the vision for you.
I want to ask you some questions.
Like, come on the podcast. Like, I want to ask you some questions.
I was just going to say the same thing. Do you want to come on the pod? Why are you? Can we call you right now? Matter of fact.
I'm ready to be with you and be excited for you. But I'm curious because I have heard that being an attorney is very soul sucking.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I'm curious what type of law they're doing.
Yeah, I want to know everything.
This is another big one for me that a lot of people mentioned and you kind of mentioned earlier. The hours, leaving at 3 is better than leaving when the sun is basically setting. Yeah. Leaving, when I was in corporate, leaving my desk at 5 and getting home at 6, I just felt like I had absolutely no life. Mm-hmm. And like, I did have no life my first couple months teaching this year, but then once I got over that hump, it got better. And now I leave by like 4 pretty much every day. And leaving at 4 and leaving at 5 are two very different things in terms of daylight hours.
Yeah.
And like running errands and traffic because everything fucking closes at 5.
Oh, yes.
So when you work a job that ends at 5, it's like, oh, you wanted to go to the doctor? Too bad.
I went to, when I was teaching in that school that got out, the kids left at 4:15. I'm pretty sure we had to leave at 4:45. I don't know. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's my memory of it. And I, in the wintertime, would arrive to school when it was dark and leave school when it was dark. I was like, awful.
This should be illegal.
I would just watch the sun out my window. Goodbye, sun.
Like a prisoner.
Exactly.
Another good point. Teaching is a very female-dominated field, and I would hate working mostly under men.
Yeah.
This might be my internalized misogyny, but I hate having female bosses. I love having male bosses.
Really? What's the difference?
Because male bosses always underestimate you and think that you're an idiot, so they don't trust you with much responsibility. So anything that you do, they're like really impressed by it, and they're also much easier to manipulate.
See, I've had the total opposite experience where like they like think you're dumb. And I'm not dumb. I'm very smart.
Yeah.
It's the same type of thing where it's like, oh, sweetie, shut up.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I hate that energy when like I do want to talk about something that I care about. But I love it when they're like, oh, we have this really hard, boring project. we definitely shouldn't give it to her. I'm like, you're right. I don't think I could handle that. Like, that's what I do really like.
It's like that audio that's like, I think men are the coolest. I love men.
No, literally. And then like when I was working at restaurants and like the wine would get delivered and I'd be like, it's so heavy, you guys. Mm-hmm. I can't. And then I would have female managers that were like, pick it up. And I was like, okay.
It's that conversation we had earlier. We need somebody to be like, you're full of shit.
No, literally. And my female managers will call me out. Like, they'll be like, get over it. And male managers are like, oh, sweetie. And I'm like, yeah, I am having a hard time. Thanks. And female managers are like, answer our fucking clients now. And I'm like, cool, but they're mean.
But I would be like, be a girl's girl. Why are you a hater?
Literally.
Aren't we friends?
A lot. Also, a lot of women, again, not to be internalized misogyny, a lot of female bosses, principals are like, I had to fight through sexism, so will you. Instead of being a girl's girl and being like, let me support you, they're like, let me oppress you so you can know how I felt.
Such a shame.
This person has more things. I also love coming up with my little art projects for the kids. That's what I love. But I love that in teaching, like, you can just do a craft and you're like, do you guys want to make bracelets? Like, or you can just like, if you come up with like a wacky and crazy idea, you can just do it and you can do something that's like kind of a waste of time, but it's going to be fun. And then I love when the kids want to show me stuff, like they get excited to show me a cartwheel at recess or a drawing or something.
Oh my gosh, it is really fun to have that.
And a lot of people that are moms are saying like, it matches my kids' schedule.
Mm-hmm. Can't beat that.
To respond to passive-aggressive parent emails, it genuinely gives me strength.
You're my type of person.
I'm in too deep to leave now. This is another big one, the autonomy and the joy. I love the autonomy and I love the joy. So many adult jobs are just like absolute void of any happiness or any joy of any kind. And even where like joy is looked down upon, like if you're expressing joy, people will say that it's unprofessional. And I think that education should be, and in most cases is, a place where joy is highly valued. Like, joy is like an ideal outcome. Like, because one positive thing I've heard from lots of administrators at lots of schools is like, oh, the kids seem really happy with you. Like, they're laughing, they're having a fun time, like they seem really happy in the room. And in corporate, I would never get, oh, the clients seem really happy with you. Even though a lot of clients would be like, I love being in your sessions, right? They're so much fun. But it's just like, we don't view creating fun as like a important skill. Mm-hmm. And I think it really is, yeah, like to create a fun environment.
Especially when it's somewhere you have to be.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love that too. You guys are making me so jealous to, I miss it.
I like want to go back right now. You should come to my classroom and volunteer.
I would love that. You'll have to tell me which period to go to though.
When my mom comes, she literally stays the whole day. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. I just love that your mom's doing that.
No, she's having the time of her life, and security is obsessed with her, which is a whole other.
Of course, beat. Who's not?
Not the security guard being like, "So is your dad in your life?"
Oh my god! So, a lot of people are saying like it actually, like they love teaching because it actually means something. Like they can't do soulless jobs.
Yeah,
which is I get. Like it's a very meaningful work.
It is very meaningful, but that also makes it hard. Because then when things go wrong, you're like, oh, it's only the future education of the next generation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing to worry about here. As opposed to like when I've had other jobs, something would go wrong and I'd be like, good thing I don't care.
I know. Seriously.
That was a close one. I almost gave a shit. Had to rein that in.
You know better than that by now.
But like now, that is one thing. Let me write this down for the therapy intake form. Like, I will fucking spiral, like, yeah, at work when something goes wrong. Like, I almost started crying a couple months ago because the printer wasn't working. And I was like, now these kids can't analyze the imperialism cartoons. And then they're never going to have a well-rounded view of U.S. imperialism. Oh. And then they're going to go out into the world ignorant because the fucking color printer isn't working.
I want to say to you, it's not that serious.
But it is, like, though.
That's the thing. Like, I can't say like, that.
If the cartoon isn't printed in color, they cannot see the race differences in the cartoon. And then that's going to shape then they're not going to have the full picture. Shout out to my testing administrator who printed it.
Hey, it's just, yeah, it's so tricky because it's like it is high stakes. And then I think people also like are a little predatory about it, too, where it's like, oh, well, you're shaping the future. You're doing such meaningful work. Thank you for not making any money because you're here for the kids. You're making a difference.
No.
Isn't that enough?
When my landlord asks me for money, I'm just going to write the difference on a post-it and slide it to him across the table.
And he'll accept it because he values teachers.
He does.
In our country.
He does, I think. I couldn't tell you, actually.
A lot of people have done, like, are doing alternative things. So it's like they're still teaching, but they found different ways to do it, which I think is so amazing. Like, non-traditional school, part-time work, job shares, stuff like that.
I want to talk to someone who's doing a job share, because that's like my dream, is to be a part-time teacher, but I've just never seen how that would work.
Took it away from me the year I gave birth. I would have stayed at my last district had they not done that, because I had colleagues on my team who did every other day, and they split the subject areas. So on days that one teacher was there, they were just doing English and social studies. On days the other teachers were there, they were just doing math and science or whatever. And they fucking killed it in their classroom. They were on their shit. It was amazing. And I was like, I want to do that. Because they had families. So it just made sense. They did it for like 15 years and then yoink. So they both quit, I think.
Damn.
And they lost a really good set of teachers by taking away that.
What I also wish I could do, I was going to ask my principal about it, but I can't afford to do it. So I was like, why would I stress you out if it's like not even possible right now? But maybe in a couple years, what I would love is to just teach part time. Because like I teach high school, just don't give me a full schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I could just teach first and second period and then just leave.
Right.
And you can just give me half the money. Is that allowed?
When I was a theater teacher, because I was an outside contract, I would come into the literal school and I would be there for like 2 hours and I would bounce.
Yeah. Is that not allowed? Are we not allowed to do that anymore?
I don't know. I think it's a separate contract.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing is weird. Education, it's so weird. Like, I kind of view a school as two different ways. I view them as like the purpose they are, which is a school, but then like they're also an employer.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to debate whether or not they're childcare, we have an episode about that.
We do. We
not to plug us, but I'm always going to do that.
Plug us in. Plug me in.
Plug us in. Oh, somebody says they don't feel marketable anywhere else. Aww. You are, baby. You are.
You are marketable.
You are.
Even if it's just to us.
You know lots of things.
You know many things.
Some of you are so beautifully passionate. That light bulb moment for the kids still thrills me, they say.
Aw.
I genuinely don't think I'm made for anything else.
That light bulb moment is so good.
Yeah.
There was one. I don't even remember what we were talking about, which is terrible. But I was teaching them something. And then a girl raised her hand and goes, is that an example of nativism like we learned a while ago? And I literally started violently clapping.
Yes.
And I gave her like 40 raffle tickets.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Because we talk about nativism. For anyone that doesn't know, nativism is like prioritizing people that were born somewhere over immigrants. I know it sounds like it would be anti-native, but it means like, if you were born here, we care about, like, it's that kind of a thing. And I teach it to them in the context of, like, Gilded Age with the new immigrants versus the old. And she brought it up when we were doing, like, modern issues stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, not you using and implementing a vocabulary word. And I, like, that was the biggest moment I'd had in, like, a little minute, because that was when we were reviewing for the standardized test, where I would be like, who won the Civil War? And they were like, Barack Obama.
Oh, my God,
like,
kids.
Kill me. Like, so when one of them made like an amazing cross time period connection, it was literally like a light in the dark. Oh, this is a good one. This also played into me returning to teaching. Job security.
Yeah.
Teaching is a very job secure
thing. Well, unless you're at the bottom of the matrix. Then your ass gets pink slipped. Bye.
Yeah, I was going to say, teaching has a lot more employment stability than most fields. It's not perfect
once you have tenure.
I also feel like it really varies by state, because I have never heard of anyone get not like I've never heard of what I have heard of a lot in my old district is you would get displaced.
Yeah.
But everyone I knew who got displaced got placed at a new school. Every single person. I don't know anyone who has ever been like laid off from teaching.
They were,
but it sounds like that's very common in California.
Yeah, well, especially depending on like the areas, right? So like when I taught in, so I taught in, maybe I should just say I taught in Long Beach. I don't fucking care. I taught in Long Beach. I used to live in Long Beach. We couldn't buy a house in Long Beach because it's so fucking expensive. And it turns out nobody else can either. And the rent is going up and up and up. So a lot of our campuses were closing. Mm. And then there's veteran teachers that are at the top of the matrix who are being displaced, and they're going to get precedent.
Got it.
And also, you request moves to schools. And holy shit, there's some schools on the east side where there's like a lot of money. Those schools are like a different world compared to the schools where I taught. Same district, but like everybody wants to go over there where the money is and the technology is and the resources are. So they all went over there. And then us.
I'll be here.
Yeah. Well, we'd get displaced. And a lot of people who were displaced would go to those like not as funded schools.
Got it.
Anyways, all that to say, they were going to, they close classrooms and they collapse classrooms. And that's how you end up with combo classes a lot of the times here, where it's like third and fourth together, because that's their solution to not like having a class with 12 kids in it, because they want to have those 30-person classes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So when I was going out on maternity, they were going to displace my colleague. I know that I told you about this. They were going to displace my colleague. And I was like, why the fuck would you displace her? We all got hired at the same time, but her employee number was lower than mine because she got hired like 2 days later.
Oh.
So I was like, this is so dumb. This whole thing I'm not even going to be here. Yeah. And I was like, go give me, if I voluntarily displace myself, then I get to pick my grade level and they'll reward you with that. So that's how I ended up back in kindergarten before I technically quit.
Right.
It was quite the journey. So anyways, yeah, it's you have job security, but it's like there is that little element.
At what cost? I'm more mean in the job security of like, so my old job, I worked in real estate, and we would literally, I survived, I think, 3 or 4 rounds of layoffs. And it just like made me really uncomfortable that like the market changing a little bit can drastically change my employment status. So I liked that teaching is a little more insulated from the economy. Like we still have the issues of like class numbers and displacement. But like when the economy, when the stock market crashes, that really doesn't have that much of an immediate impact on teaching employment. I know it does later because of taxes and the economy at large. But like when I was in my real estate office, if the Dow Jones dropped, like the office, people started walking around and getting fucking scared. And I like not living that way.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people saying the same things, the kids and yapping. That's what it is for me.
Yes. And lots of people are saying that. And this, I really like this one. It says, it's the only thing that honestly feels like it sets my soul on fire. Mm-hmm. I'm a data spreadsheets kind of girl, and I love watching my kids grow academically and behaviorally. I like knowing that in September I was getting interrupted 27 times during a lesson, but by April it was 3 times with tons of strategies on how to share thoughts other than blurting. I like that I get to be a part of so many life stories. And the biggest reason, I was a kid who should not have been successful and was, because I had amazing teachers. Bonus, same schedule as my child, amazing coworkers / principal, summers, breaks, leaving at 2:45, hell yeah, and a pension. It for sure feels like a toxic relationship, but for me right now, the pros outweigh the cons. I really think I'm a lifer, just not in the classroom the whole time.
Yeah. Another one that I saw that is, I really like, is a fresh start every year. Like, I love being able to implement things that I've learned and get like a fresh batch of kids. Like, that's why I kind of hate the end of the year, because it's like, I'm sad because I'm going to miss them so much. And I'm like, I don't want to get to know new kids. I love you guys so much. There's no way the next ones could be as cool or as fabulous as you guys. And then they always are. But every year, I think they're not going to be. And so I'm like so sad that they're leaving. And then I'm also sad because I'm like, well, I already kind of fucked up a couple things with y'all. So y'all need to get out of here, and I need to get some new people in here. Like in the last couple days when I had like almost no kids, because most of them just stopped coming to school because testing was over, I like redid all of my writing materials to teach them how to write better essays for the AP exam. So with like the 5 kids that were there, I was like, come look at this. Tell me what you think of this. And they were being so funny. They were like, oh man, this would have been awesome. They were like, this would have helped a lot. Why didn't you give us this? And I was like, well, I just thought of it.
Yeah.
So
the next round.
And that is really nice to be able to like do the same thing again and again and again, because you get to reflect and like try new things and get better. And I think that teaching is a job that like you are kind of driving your professional growth. And I think a lot of other jobs are just not that way. Like you just don't really grow. Well, if you guys are still teaching, we're happy for you. And if you're quitting, we're happy for you.
We are. We support you no matter what.
Exactly. We support you doing your thing. Quit and then come back like I did. You can literally do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. Don't let them trick you.
Don't let anyone tell you different. Like when your principal's like, you're really leaving, you're never going to be able. You can.
You can.
You can.
Yeah. They're going to try to scare you, maybe.
Do whatever you want. Stay if you want. Quit if you want. Switch schools. Switch schools again. Switch countries.
Goodbye.
Whatever you want.
We're proud of you. We love you. Goodbye.
Mwah.
Mwah, mwah.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.